Now, my next guest is hoping to change the stereotype of apprenticeships and the further education courses, the idea that these are only for people who didn't do well at school. With the numbers in apprenticeships yet to recover from a post-Celtic Tiger slump, does our education system undervalue vocations and further education courses? Well, I'm joined in studio by Sulis Chief Executive Andrew Brownlee. Andrew, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Talk to me about the slump in apprenticeships, first of all. Obviously, when we had a fall in construction after the crash due to the banks and all the rest of it, but that has not recovered, even though there's a huge demand.
Well, I mean, Pat, it hasn't recovered fully to the 2006 levels, right in the middle of the kind of Celtic Tiger boom. But up until COVID came along, it had been growing very strongly, and we had about 6,000 apprentices entering the system every year. Obviously, COVID has kind of put a bit of a stop to that. You know, our workshops were closed for 9 of the first 12 months of the COVID pandemic. It's only in the last month that they've got back up to 100% capacity. But we're already seeing signs that apprenticeship is growing. Again, it's 13% up on 2019, which is the pre-COVID level. And we have an ambition to grow it to 10,000, you know, by 2025 under a new plan.
Now, the reputation of apprenticeships, you know, it's for the fellows and girls who didn't do that well in school. How do you change that? Because there are many people who just like to do the work that apprenticeships offer.
Yeah, well, look, I think the first thing that we need to do, and it's a really exciting development, I think, is when young people are sitting down with their friends, with their families, with their guidance counsellors, with their teachers, and talking about their next options after school. We need to put all the exciting apprenticeship options and all the further education options on the table alongside higher education choices. And I'm delighted that for the first time in November, when the CAO is launched, you'll be able to click on a button to see all of those further education options and all of the apprenticeship options, and then actually apply within 3 clicks for an FE course of your choice.
Now, the CAO system is run by the colleges, So they say, why would they do that? You know, because they're maybe pushing their business into another forum. Why would they give business to other people when they're trying to recruit students themselves?
Yeah, well, look, I have to say the CAO have been brilliant throughout this process and really, really open to making sure that students have all of the information to make a smart choice. So yeah, the CAO's board is made up of universities and technological universities, but actually they care about the future of the whole of tertiary education. So we've been working with them to ensure that there is a landing page that has all of the options, and that then links to our application system to allow people to choose the course that suits them best, you know?
Now, people, when they compare those who get fancy degrees and go off and work in tech, they often look at the top incomes that might be available. But of course, the average income and the normal income for a worker in a tech company might be rather lower.
Yeah.
So the perception that maybe you don't earn as much in an apprenticeship driven job than you would in a university driven job, how do you combat that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you combat that by using the data that we have that proves that's certainly not the case. And also maybe changing the mindset that to get involved in the tech industry, you have to go and do a computer science degree at Trinity. I mean, that's not just the case. We now have 3 very exciting tech apprenticeships now that you can do in cybersecurity, network engineering, software development. All the big tech companies are involved in those apprenticeships, so you don't need to go and do a degree before you get in there. There are ways to kind of come. Maybe if you're not that academically skilled at second level, there are other ways into those exciting new industries.
Now, the people have a particular perception of apprenticeships. It's you're a plumber, you're bricky, you're whatever, blah, blah, blah. But for years, the legal profession had solicitors' apprentices.
Yeah.
So was it the kind of solicitor tag attached to apprenticeship that gave them the kind of snob value?
Yeah, very possibly. But I think that's exactly the nut we're trying to crack at the moment. I mean, we have 25 brilliant craft apprenticeship programs that, you know, that's your plumbers, your electricians, your mechanics. But there's now 62 programs across apprenticeship that do exactly that train you to be an insurance practitioner on the job, an auctioneer, a real estate agent, lab technicians, chefing, you know. So all of these areas working exactly like you just said, you know, the idea of going in and doing your training on the job with a little bit of the college experience to kind of help you on the way.
Yeah. The colleges are probably also conscious of the rate of attrition they have, where the square pegs end up in the round holes and they drop out. And if it turns out that the reason the kids dropped out is that really this stuff does not suit me.
Yeah.
And there was something else maybe that they could do that really does suit them. And when you do something you love, it's not like a job at all.
No, exactly. And I mean, look, we have a system here where about 2/3 of school leavers go directly into a higher education degree. And in some schools, it's 100% of school leavers. Yeah. And you can't tell me that at least, you know, one or two of those kids wouldn't be better suited to going into a technical or vocational type of course. So, look, I think there's a need. It's one of the highest levels of kind of HE participation in the world, which is a big asset for our country, don't get me wrong. But I think for some of those students, maybe those that are on the, you know, 200, 300 points from the Leaving Cert, there could well be a better route. And, you know, we actually have the data to prove that if you do kind of further education first, if you do a PLC course, for example, and you're in that kind of points bracket, the chances of then going on and completing your HE degree, if that's what you want to do, actually improve. So we have really good data that proves that FET works.
Now, you mentioned the PLC courses. A lot of the colleges that offer these are small.
Yeah.
And compared to, say, going to UCD or UL or NUIG or UCC or Trinity College, that campus experience, you would like to recreate that for people who are pursuing apprenticeships.
Yeah, apprenticeships and further education courses, actually, absolutely. It's one of the big ideas in our new FET strategy, Transforming Learning. And I suppose we have a legacy of kind of training centres, which would have been run by FOSS, and probably typically smaller scale kind of colleges of further education that would have been run traditionally by the VECs. So the creation of Solus kind of heralded a new integrated further education and training system. The education and training boards coordinate that and deliver the education and training at regional levels. And we have this concept of a FET College of the Future. And really the idea is to bring those training centres together with the FE colleges and make them larger scale and really deliver that college experience, which is comparable to going to a UL or a TU Dublin or wherever, you know.
Because many people would say that going to university is the mind broadening experience, because you meet so many diverse people doing diverse things, and it really prepares you for life. If you're, say, just doing construction in a construction type apprenticeship, you may only meet people like yourself. So if you have that broader campus experience meeting all sorts of people, it will have as good an effect as the university might.
Yeah, and it means you can do things, you know, that are easier on a bigger scale, like provide consistent learner support, kind of student amenities, all of that type of stuff.
But also even things like societies and clubs and sports and all the rest of it. If you've got critical mass in numbers, you can do all of those things, which a small college can't do.
Absolutely. But look, we don't want to lose the essence of what further education is all about, because the students tell us it's a brilliant experience. You make friends for life. And some of that kind of smaller scale learning actually suits a lot of students better. But we do think that by building these FET colleges of the future, you know, and the NDP supports that, there's plans to kind of ramp up capital funding in FET to 100 million by 2025, then we really can offer something that's of considered of real value to your school leaver.
One of the obstacles, even with the CAO coming on board with apprenticeships being listed and available on the CAO website, would be career guidance teachers who may be somewhat snobby themselves. And, you know, we had texts on this program before when we talked about this, where saying, you know, the career guidance teacher is saying apprenticeships are for the people who don't do well.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, first of all, that's not our experience of guidance counsellors, and we work very closely with the Institute of Guidance Counsellors. We actually deliver professional development to the counsellors to tell them about apprenticeships and further education. I think doing the CAO development will start to change the conversation, because the CAO, I mean, quite naturally, the only conversation counsellors or guidance counsellors are having with their students around is around, well, what are your higher education options? Yeah. By putting those other choices on the table, it instantly changes the conversation. It instantly gets people to think, well, maybe there's another route that I can think about.
Because there used to be the idea that a kid left to do an apprenticeship at the age of 14. you know, and didn't get the full school education. Now, there is something that might happen within schools because you're doing a pilot on it, and that is transition year. A lot of people question the value of transition year. I always felt it should be used for something, maybe to get someone their computer literacy, all of those things, or even a language. Use transition year for something that can be accomplished. But the idea of getting on-site experience in a job in transition year would be fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And look, we are, and we have the advantage of education and training boards who are obviously involved in the second level school sector as well. And so we're trying to pilot ideas that will expose people to kind of apprenticeship, mini apprenticeships as part of the transition year experience. It's something that we've taken from Scotland, where they actually have a foundation apprenticeship program where you can do mini apprenticeships as part of your kind of second level education. And it's something I think is really important here, because you know it's not enough to just give people the options. I really think we need to give them more of a taster of vocational and technical kind of education at school level. And I think even Leaving Cert reform offers an avenue to do that as well, Pat.
As some of the comments coming in, I'd love to do an apprenticeship on a part-time basis because I'm in full-time employment, but it's not an option, unlike college courses, which might be available part-time.
No, apprenticeship is a full-time programme. There are kind of many part-time further education and training courses which would facilitate upskilling, and workforce upskilling is a big focus of Solace and the ETBs at the moment. An awful lot of apprenticeship programmes, though, do attract people who are already in other careers. So look, what I would say to the person is don't rule it out, look into it. And there are many employers out there looking to take people on and train them off and on the job.
The problem with apprenticeships is low wages starting off. I'm a qualified metal fabricator. When I started my apprenticeship 20 years ago, I earned €150 a week in my first year. Nobody nowadays will work for similar, so says Niall in Swords. But of course, he was being paid as an apprentice, which as a university student, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's no fees. There's actually a training allowance while you're doing the training. But I think he makes a point, Pat, that maybe people don't realise that, that's the case in your early years. But in 10, 15 years, you're earning more than many college graduates. And maybe we need to get that information across.
An example from Dave. I left school in 1990. I got an apprenticeship in a lift company. I've never been out of work. I have job security. I'm earning between 80 and 90K a year. And I still love the job. My skills are in demand worldwide. Apprenticeships should not be overlooked. Another one. I sat in my son's school presentation for further education. She looked down on apprenticeships and literally said, if your son isn't very academic, i.e. thick, he can do an apprenticeship. As a qualified electrician who earns more than double that teacher, I got up and I walked out. Could you ask the Solace director if there's an arborist apprenticeship in Cork? My son started one a month ago, but there's nothing about courses yet. That's from Damien in Cork. Arboricultural courses?
Yeah, we launched it. That's effectively, I suppose, what we would have traditionally called lumberjacking. And I was actually at the launch over in Mayo earlier on this year. So it's just beginning to roll out. So there are, I think, a couple of programs running around the country. I don't think it's in Cork yet, Pat, but hopefully it will expand over the next 12 or 18 months.
This one from Chris Lundy, Executive Secretary of the Association of Electrical Contractors Ireland. He says, our members would employ approximately 1,500 electrical apprentices, and there's a possibility that some of these young people will have to work another 2 years or so before they're qualified because of a backlog in Solace courses.
Yeah, no, look, no question, we're in an emergency situation with regard to apprenticeships and the backlog. As I said, training facilities were closed for 9 or 12 months. They were operating only at 50% capacity up to last month. So we do have a big, big waiting list to get through. We're investing capital and expanding the workshops. We're taking on new instructors. We're moving to a new delivery model for phase two apprenticeship training, which is allowing 3 intakes instead of 2. So what we hope is that 40% of the people on the waiting list at the moment will be in training by the end of the year, and the remainder will access training by the end of next year. But unfortunately, it's just one of the legacies of the COVID pandemic and its restrictions, Pat.
More texts. Unfortunately, there's snobbery rampant in this country regarding apprenticeships. Sons and daughters being sent to college to keep up with the Joneses. So says Dave in Tip. On the motor trade, no respect for apprenticeships or the trade. They don't pay very much. and the stress is so high, many are getting out because there's also a huge black market. The problem with apprenticeships, there's no guarantee that you can finish the trade in 4 years, as you rely on employment to be able to move through the modules. So there we are. Anyway, so much interest in what you're saying, Andrew, and we'll watch with great interest what happens when the CAO button is available come November. Andrew Brownlee, who is the Sulla CEO, thank you very much for joining us.